I want to begin this morning by asking you this question. How would you describe the God that you pray to? How would you describe the God that you pray to? That question is very specific. I'm not asking you to describe the God who created you, or even the God who saved you. I'd like you to think about describing the God you pray to. That may seem like a strange question because, of course, they're all one and the same God. The God who created you is the God who saved you, and hopefully he's the one that you pray to. Or is he? In other words, does your concept of God somehow change when you go to pray? For example, if I ask you to describe the God who created you, I'm sure you describe him as awesome and all-powerful, a God who has no limits on what he can do. He can speak the universe into existence. He's too large and powerful to even comprehend. If I ask you to describe the God who saved you, I'm sure you describe him as having an unconditional love, a God of abundant grace, having mercy even for the worst of sinners. But if I ask you to describe the God you pray to, would you be as bold in your description? You understand what I'm asking you this morning? I know for myself that when I think of the God who created me and saved me, I think of a great, big, wonderful God. But sometimes when I go to pray, my concept of God becomes a lot smaller. I have to confess that sometimes my faith in the God I pray to isn't as strong as my belief in the God who created me or the God who saved me. Maybe that's because I can already see what's been created. I've already experienced his salvation. But when I go to prayer to present my request to God, I tend to perceive him just a little smaller than the God who spoke the universe into existence. Anybody else here ever have that experience? That's why I asked you to describe the God that you pray to. It could be that the God you're praying to is too small. And we need to have what I think I need sometimes, a reminder that the God we pray to is a lot bigger than we think. In the third chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is praying for the Christians in Ephesus. And he ends his prayer with these words. He says, "Now to him," of course meaning God, "to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Wow. Now that's the way to pray to a really big God. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Have you ever underestimated the power of something? Maybe it was the power of the wind or the power of a machine or the power of water or the force of water. For example, think of wind for a moment. A light breeze is just enough wind to dry the load of laundry in a clothesline. But a tornado is so powerful that it can tear a building from its foundations in an instant. Or think of water. A little sprinkle of water can be enough to grow a flower, but a tsunami can sweep away an entire village in just a few moments. The power of things is often underestimated, like the power of wind or the power of water. And sometimes power is unseen. It resides in something invisible. It can't be seen. It can only be experienced. For example, there's a current of water that flows in the Atlantic Ocean from Florida to Labrador called the Gulf Stream. It's so powerful that even if you combine the flow of all the rivers of the world, you still have to multiply that by 100 to equal the force of the Gulf Stream. But despite its enormous volume and power and force, the Gulf Stream is invisible even to those who are sailing on it. Now, in a similar way, there's often unseen power at work through prayer. A great man of prayer was Watchman Nee. He was a Christian leader in China during the time of World War II. And when the news of the Nazi invasion of Poland reached China, the church there was stunned. The world was at war, and China was at that time, that very moment, under attack from Japan. And on that Sunday, Watchman Nee called his church together for prayer, telling them that prayer was a weapon for which there was no defense. And he added these powerful words. He said, "Prayer can do anything God can do. Prayer can do anything God can do." And that's pretty much the point that Paul is making here in our text this morning when he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. According to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The end of Ephesians chapter 3, Paul offers a prayer for his readers and then ends with this great doxology in which we learn at least three things. That when it comes to meeting our needs, God overwhelms our minds. God overcomes our weaknesses, and he overhears our praise. So starting off, first of all, God overwhelms our minds. Paul said, now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. This morning I want us to consider what Paul is telling us when he says that God can do immeasurably more. Because I think what Paul is saying is that we too often underestimate God. We underestimate his love for us and his grace for us, his plan for us, his passion for us, his purpose for us, his power for us, and his provision for us. We tend to underestimate what God can do and what he wants to do. Try for a moment this morning to imagine how big God is. I mean, imagine the size of the universe, and God's bigger than that. Try to imagine how big he is. And try to imagine all that he can do, the God who spoke creation to existence. Try to imagine that. Now, Paul says God can do even more than that. Whatever it is that you've imagined, God can do more. And notice that Paul didn't say that God could do just a little more, or 40% more, or even a lot more. He said immeasurably more. Wow, immeasurably more. How much is that? Well, no one knows. Paul doesn't even know because it is immeasurable. God overwhelms our minds with his generosity and his capability because God gives immeasurably. He's not short on resources. Remember the story in Genesis about Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers? And yet God used these circumstances to save the life of Joseph's family, including the brothers who betrayed him. I think you know the story, most of you, how Joseph was released from the Egyptian prison cell and became the prime minister of Egypt after interpreting Pharaoh's dreams. He warned Pharaoh that there was a great famine coming, but God provided by giving 7 years of immeasurable abundance before the famine. In Genesis chapter 41, we find the story. It says, during the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. And so Genesis 41 says that when Joseph became prime minister of Egypt, the 7 years of plenty yielded grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he had to stop keeping a record of it because it was beyond measure. It was immeasurable. And so how does that relate to you today? Well, let me tell you. Let me ask you. Do you think your need is too big for God's resources? Do you think you're going to bankrupt God with your requests? Think about this. In order to provide just for Joseph's family, just for the family, the descendants of Abraham whom God had a covenant with, just provide for this family, God provided grain for the entire nation of Egypt for 7 years, just to preserve them. God provides immeasurably more than we can ask. In fact, he can do more than we can imagine. The Queen of Sheba found Solomon's empire beyond anything she could have imagined. In 1 Kings chapter 10, it says, when the Queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. The Queen of Sheba was overwhelmed when she saw the abundance that Solomon had been blessed with, what he received from the Lord. It was more than she had imagined. And she said, you have far exceeded the report I have heard. See, God is able to provide immeasurably more than all we can imagine. Now, I want you to understand that I'm not preaching the prosperity gospel here this morning. I'm not trying to tell you that if you have enough faith that God will give you lots and lots of money. To be honest, I find that kind of thinking to be very shallow. But God wants to give you blessings that are much more valuable than money. He wants you to have a mighty inner strength. He wants you to have the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding. He wants you to have victory over the sinful nature. He wants you to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, to have the hope of Christ and the joy of the Lord and the gift of eternity. And God is far more interested in what you are becoming than with what you have. It's interesting to compare these two men in Scripture, Joseph and Solomon. Both received an immeasurable abundance from God, but their lives are very different. When we compare these lives, we see that Joseph had a life of adversity, where Solomon had a life of privilege. Joseph was betrayed and endured slavery and imprisonment, where Solomon was born in a palace and inherited the throne. The most striking contrast is not how they started, but how they finished. Joseph remained pure-hearted and was reconciled with his brothers, whereas Solomon's heart wandered from God. In the end, it was the one who experienced adversity who was rich in faith. That's important because the greatest rewards that God has for us are our eternal rewards. Paul said about heaven that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. When we are called to exercise our faith through tough times, we need to remember what God is preparing for us is immeasurable and beyond our imaginations. Preacher and hymn writer John Newton wrote these words back in the 1700s. He said, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring. For his grace and power is such, none can ever ask too much." God is not only able to do what we ask or imagine, he's able to do all that we ask or imagine. Not only that, he is able to do more than all that we can ask or imagine. In fact, he can do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine. So Paul's telling us that when God meets our needs, God overwhelms our minds. The second thing he tells us is that God overcomes our weaknesses by filling us with his power. He tells us that God does all this according to his power that is at work within us. God's power works in us. Ever wonder how much power that actually is? Now, when you want to measure the electrical power available in a source of something like a battery, we use a voltage meter to measure the amps. But how do we get a measure on the power of God? SAS Power has a meter in my house, so they know how much power I use. But have you ever wondered how much of God's power runs through you? I guess that most of us don't fully comprehend how much of God's power is at work within us. I'm sure I don't. Do any of us realize how much power is there? Well, Paul tells us how much power there is in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. We could call this verse in the Bible power meter. He says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." Wow. I mean, how great is that? The Bible's power meter tells us that we are fully charged with the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Because as believers, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We have a connection to the power source of heaven. And we have a God who is a source of strength for us in our time of weakness. Let me tell you a story of Darlene Rose, who was a missionary to New Guinea. She was imprisoned in a Japanese concentration camp during World War II. And all she was given every day to eat was a small portion of rice pudding, or rice porridge. One day, she was looking out her cell window, and she saw in the distance a bunch of bananas. Instantly, she craved those bananas. Everything inside of her wanted one. She could smell them, she could taste them. She dropped to her knees and she prayed, "Lord, I'm not asking you for a whole bunch. I just want one banana. Lord, just one banana." then she began to rationalize. How could God get a banana through these prison walls? There's more of a chance of the moon falling out of the sky than one of these guards bringing me a banana, she thought. Bowing again, she prayed, Lord, there's no one here who could get a banana to me. There's no way you could do it. Please don't think I'm not thankful for the rice porridge. It's just that, well, those bananas, they just look so delicious. The next morning, she heard the guard coming down the concrete walkway, and it was the warden of the POW camp. He looked at her withered body, and without saying a word, he turned and left her, locking the door behind him. Sometime later, she heard another set of footsteps echoing down the hallway. The key turned, the door opened, and the guard threw in a huge yellow bundle into the cell and said to her, these are yours. And she counted them. It was a bundle of 92 bananas. As she began to peel and eat her bananas, Ephesians 3:20 came to her mind. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. God's resources are available to us in our time of need. The Spirit of God lives in us and helps us overcome our weaknesses. And prayer is a power source that connects us to the resources of heaven. I found a few good quotes about prayer that I want to share with you this morning. The first one is this. Don't pray when you feel like it. Make an appointment with the Lord and keep it. A man is powerful on his knees. That comes from Corrie Ten Boom, survivor of the Holocaust, reminding us that we need to have a consistent prayer life. The second one is from E.M. Bounds. He says, no learning can make up for the failure to pray. No earnestness, no diligence, no study, no gifts will supply its lack. In other words, there's nothing that can replace the power of prayer. We can work as hard as we can, but if we neglect to pray, there's nothing we can do to make up for that. And this next quote is the one I like the best. If the church wants a better pastor, it only needs to pray for the one it has. I don't know who wrote that. I'm pretty sure it was a pastor who wrote that. But God's power works in us and through us by our prayers. His power overcomes our weaknesses. And whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, we should remember to always give our praise to God because God hears our praise. Paul concludes by writing, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our prayers and our praise should always be interwoven. They should go hand in hand. And Paul knew this from experience. When Paul and Silas were in prison, the believers prayed, and Paul and Silas praised. The story in Acts chapter 16 says, around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. So as they were praying and praising, God's power shook that prison so hard, the chains fell off and the prison doors flew open. The power of praise set them free. Now, how about you this morning? You ever feel imprisoned by your circumstances? God wants you to experience a release. It begins with praise. It begins by looking at God and not at our circumstances. David wrote in Psalm 145, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. He says, every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. He says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. In other words, the greatness of God is immeasurable. It's beyond our imaginations. No one can fathom the greatness of God. So David says, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And Paul said, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Our prayers and our praise should be interwoven. They should go hand in hand because when we praise God, our concept of him grows. We should praise God. It helps us get our eyes off the circumstances and to see the awesome power of the God who spoke the universe into existence. As we're concluding this morning, I'm going to invite the worship team to prepare to come up. As I close this morning, I want you to once again consider this question. How will you describe the God that you pray to? How often do we miss out because we underestimate God? We underestimate his love for us, his grace for us, his plan for us, his passion for us, his purpose for us, his power for us, and his provision for us. We tend to underestimate what God wants to do. Evangelist John Rice once imagined being given a guided tour of heaven by the angel Gabriel. Imagine that they walked around and they came to a large building. And inside was floor after floor of beautiful gifts, all wrapped and ready to be sent out. And Rice asked, "Gabriel, what are all these?" And Gabriel replied that these were answers to prayer. And he said, "We wrapped all these things, but people never called for them." The immeasurable power of our mighty God is released through praise and prayer. So what's the greatest need that you're facing right now? What's the greatest challenge that you're up against today? Is the God that you pray to big enough to meet that need? Remember, he is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine. As we pray this morning, I want you to think about the biggest need that you have right now. What's the biggest challenge that you're facing? We're going to stand together in faith, knowing that God, the God that we pray to, is more than able to meet every need and answer every prayer. Why don't you stand with me this morning as we pray together? Let's stand together in faith this morning as we lift up those knees to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise. You are so worthy, O God. We thank you that you are mighty, that you are sovereign, you are all-powerful and all-knowing, that history is in your hands, Lord God, and the future, God, is also in your hands. You are in control. And you see the needs of every person that's here. You see the heart of every person that's here as well. And Father, as we just lift up that need, that challenge that we are facing today, the one that's perplexing us, that's causing us stress, Lord, we're lifting it up to you and releasing it to you, God. Trusting in you, Lord, to undertake for us. You are the God who can do more than we can ask or imagine. And Lord, we trust that you will answer our prayers. We ask that you would undertake for each person here today, and we give you thanks for your answers. Lord, it says that as we give our requests and petitions to you, that we can have the peace of Christ, which transcends all understanding. We can walk in peace and faith today because we serve a mighty God. We serve the Lord, the God of the universe. So Lord, we just bring these to you into your presence and leave these needs with you this morning and ask that you'd undertake for your people. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations and forever and ever. Amen.